and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. It is the first Sunday of Lent, and we are beginning our Lent series in which we're going to be looking at some of the teachings of Jesus as found in Matthew. We are going to be looking in more detail at these passages, and we're going to think about how we personally live out these teachings that Jesus gives us. These are great passages which give some really good wisdom about how we should live our lives. So we're going to be just starting with looking at some passages from Matthew 6, and our theme is do not worry. So I'm going to read starting from Matthew 6 verse 9. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labour or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendour was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. But you, your heavenly Father, knows that you need them. Seek first his kingdom, and your righteousness and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Anxiety and stress are so prevalent in our society at the moment. According to figures reported by Mental Health First Aid, 51% of people who are off work for long-term sickness is due to stress-related sickness. And 1 in 5 people report that they feel unable to manage stress and pressure in the workplace. And these figures are just a couple that demonstrate how prevalent stress, anxiety, worry and fear is in our society. But we don't need statistics to show us that worry and stress are a problem. We have plenty of experience of it in our own lives and the lives of those around us. God also knows that worry, fear, anxiety and stress are extremely common problems for us, as the Bible says a lot about these things. There are many exhortations, instructions, suggestions and commands for us to not be afraid, not to worry. But of course, just telling someone not to worry isn't going to achieve an awful lot. We struggle to turn off our worry and stress. And so in Matthew 6, Jesus instead gives us helpful tools to change our mindset from stress and worry to peace and trust. So the first tool that Jesus gives us is a reminder that we need to put life in perspective. When we feel stressed and worried about something, our focus, our vision narrows down and concentrates on the situation. Now, this can be helpful in allowing us to see more details that we haven't noticed before that may be helpful to solve the problem. But it can be unhelpful too, as this narrow focus makes us believe that the problem that we're facing is all-consuming, overwhelming, and essential to solve if we want to live our lives. But when we stand back from the problem, we often see that it isn't as huge and all-encompassing as we first thought. When Jesus taught his disciples about prayer, he showed them that no matter what our need is, we should first recognise God, acknowledge his kingdom, and accept that our ultimate mission is to further God's kingdom. Only then does Jesus encourage us to ask God for our daily bread. Recognising God and giving him the glory and praise reminds us that our problems might seem huge to us, but they are small and easily solvable to God. I was once told by a friend of mine to think of a helpful illustration. When we feel like we are in a deep pit and we can't get out, and we just feel like we're just completely stuck, we need to look up and see the rope that is being lowered down to us. Lifting our eyes from our worries helps us to put them into perspective and see the rope that is being lowered down. And Jesus reiterates this need for us to lift our perspective a few verses later in chapter 6, where he says, "Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes?" And again he says, "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." So when we're feeling worry and stress, can we train ourselves to look away from the problem and put it into perspective? We need to train ourselves to ask, "Where is my treasure?" Or in other words, what is really important? Jesus reminds us that the material things of this world are subject to theft, rot, decay, and destruction. They are all temporary, and we need to focus on what is important and eternal. We need to give our stresses and concerns to God. When we focus on God and not our earthly concerns, we learn to have a better perspective and therefore less worries. So let us raise our eyes and store our treasures in heaven. Lift our eyes from the pit of our worries and stress, and let God change our perspective so that we see things for as they truly are. So the second tool that Jesus gives us is something I've already alluded to. We need to give our concerns and stresses to God. After recognising God and calling for his kingdom, the next part of the Lord's Prayer is a request for God's daily provision. "Give us today our daily bread." Now, obviously, this line speaks specifically to our need for sustenance in the form of food each day. But this line also represents more than a request for food. It is a request for God to provide for all our needs. And it is also an act of willing submission. By recognising that he has the power to provide, and it is his right that we come to him with all our need. When we acknowledge that God provides for us, we are also agreeing to come under his control and choosing to willingly depend on him. This act of willing dependence and submission to God is a constant and conscious choice that we choose to make. One of the things I love about this line in the Lord's Prayer is that Jesus doesn't just tell us to pray, "Give us all the food we'll ever need." Instead, he tells us to ask each day for our daily bread. This is a reminder for us to come to God each day with every need we have. God wants us to keep coming to him for his help. So we need to bring our needs to God. All our needs. All our worries, fears, concerns and stresses. Everything that fills our mind with unease. This includes the stresses and fears that we can't even identify or put into words. Sometimes we find ourselves stressed, but we cannot identify the cause of that stress. We are commanded to bring even these things to God, to allow him to take our fears and to make sense of them when we can't. Jesus reminds us that God loves to provide for us plentifully. He instructs us to look up at the birds of the air. He directs us to consider that they do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet they are provided with food from God. And again, he calls us to look at the flowers of the field, which God dresses with such splendour that even Solomon couldn't match their beauty. And then he asks, "Are you not much more valuable than they?" God loves to provide for us. Jesus also reminds us that we should come to God with our needs before we do anything else, including before we begin to worry and stress. He asks, "Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" In that simple question, Jesus reminds us that worrying and stressing doesn't achieve anything other than to negatively impact ourselves, and it certainly doesn't achieve any solution to our problems. When we worry, all we manage to do is to sap our energy, strength, and sanity. In our worrying and stressing, we often try to resolve a situation using all our strength and resources, turning to other people for their resources too. But the first person we should turn to is not ourselves. It's not our friends and family. We should turn first to God and seek his wisdom and aid. And thirdly, the third tool that Jesus gives us might not seem related to worry at first, but it is. Jesus tells us not to let our anger or guilt, bitterness or shame take up residence in our lives. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus tells us to be forgiven and to forgive. In the words of the version that I learned as a kid, Jesus instructs us to pray, "Forgive us the wrongs we have done, as we forgive the wrongs that others have done to us." Often when we worry about something, it is a specific situation and it's clear that it needs a solution. Something like how to find enough money to pay this month's rent, or concern about an upcoming medical procedure. In these situations, it is clear why we would worry. But there are also situations where we experience stress and anxiety that are slightly more obscure. For example, those times when you are angry with someone for something they have done. You find yourself thinking about them and their interactions with you. The dominant feeling is anger, but underneath that is an undercurrent of anxiety. Perhaps anxiety that you'll be hurt again by the same person or by someone else. Perhaps anxiety over how you will interact with this person in future meetings. When we allow ourselves to live with anger against someone and hold a grudge against them, we also welcome in stress and anxiety. But Jesus gives us a way out. We do not have to live with the stress of anger. Instead, we can find the release of forgiveness. Jesus instructs us to forgive those who have done wrong against us. And in a similar way, Jesus also instructs us to let go of the burden and stress of guilt and shame and find forgiveness in God. When we carry guilt with us, we can also carry worry and anxiety. The anxiety of a secret sin being discovered, the fear of being rejected for our wrongdoing, the stress of not being trusted or valued by others. But Jesus tells us to seek God's forgiveness. Allow God to lift the burden of guilt and anger, shame and bitterness with his forgiveness and grace, so that you will be forgiven and given the power to forgive others too. And finally, Jesus gives us a fourth tool. He instructs us to trust God, to guide us, and to not turn to other things to replace his wisdom. In the final part of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus encourages us to ask God for protection against evil. He says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." In other words, Jesus is calling us to ask God to be our ultimate guide, for us to trust in his wisdom, even when it doesn't seem to make sense to us yet. When we are consumed by worry, we will often try anything and everything to relieve our fears. We turn to many different sources of aid to get us out of our difficulties. And this becomes a problem when those sources of aid lead us astray down a path we didn't want to travel. In the allegory Pilgrim's Progress, the main character Christian and Hope walked along a difficult path that had become rough and hard under their feet. But they see another path that seems to run parallel to the path they're currently on. This path is more pleasant, with more grass and fewer holes, and therefore they decide to take this path, as it still seemed to be going in the right direction. But then a storm hits, and they become disoriented, and so they take shelter and fall asleep. They are awakened by a giant called Despair, who takes them to Doubting Castle. This story demonstrates how easy it is to get into trouble when we allow other things to guide us instead of God's wisdom. Christian and Hope knew which path they should have been following, but anxiety about the journey led them to choose their own wisdom and take the so-called easier path. We need to trust God to be our guide and not rely on other wisdom to lead us. As Jesus says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, then your body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" If our eyes are focused on God, we walk in the light, and God guides us wisely in the right way. But if we allow our eyes to turn away from God, we find ourselves stumbling around in the darkness. So we see that Jesus gives us vital tools to help us combat worry and fear, anxiety and stress. To summarise, we need to put our life into perspective and see the world from God's eyes. We need to give our fears to the only one big enough to handle them all. We need to make sure we forgive and are forgiven so that our anger and shame does not hold us hostage. And finally, we need to trust God and only God to guide us.